Order.
Opposition dissatisfaction with the new Speaker's conduct of question times boiled over in a confrontation between David Carter and Greens co-leader Russell Norman.
I would argue the key problem is that the decision or the ruling of Speaker Smith that a straight question gets a straight answer, that ruling is no longer being upheld under your new speakership, and that is creating disorder.
Order. That is now questioning the competence and the bias of the Speaker. That is very serious. I'm attempting to elicit sensible answers for members, but on many occasions, members are wanting the answer designed to their satisfaction. That's not what question time is.
Russell Norman knew what it should be.
Question time doesn't make sense if it's not also answer time. It was a very direct question. He hasn't answered the question.
Order. That was a very genuine attempt by the Minister. Order.
The Minister was Stephen Joyce, who was frustrating the Greens' co-leader's attempts to discover whether individuals will be able to get their money out of a failed bank, while Labour's Chief Whip, Chris Hipkins, was angry about a question to the Prime Minister being transferred to another minister.
Mr Speaker, the opposition do have a right to question the Prime Minister, and the Speaker's rulings, and particularly the rulings of the previous Speaker, were quite clear that the more specific the question, the more specific the answer we could expect was. It's very difficult to ask the Prime Minister a specific question if the minute we put something specific in it, he uses that excuse to duck from it.
Among specific questions that Labour's leader David Shearer wanted to put to the Prime Minister was which international investors had he been talking to about asset sales, only to get this answer from his Minister for State-Owned Enterprises.
Honourable Tony Ryle.
With respect to that answer, of course, I'm not able to tell him exactly who the Prime Minister has spoken to, nor am I able to comment on the nature of the investment at this time.
A protest at that answer was dismissed by David Carter.
The Minister addressed the question. He said unable to relate to conversation.
Mr Shearer was supported by his shadow Leader of the House, Trevor Mallard.
It was impossible for the State-Owned Enterprises Minister to know what was in those briefings. He could not answer for what was in the Prime Minister's mind.
Question time was followed by the Wednesday general debate, with the government side interested in just the one subject, David Shearer's failure to register his New York bank account as a pecuniary interest, with ACT leader John Banks asking,
where did he get the money from?
Mr Banks then quoted back Mr Shearer's criticism of him.
Any member who has a memory lapse is not worthy of holding public office. And the rooster is still in charge of the Labour Party chickens today.
Now from the chamber to the committee rooms in this report from Rhys Lyon.
The Finance and Expenditure Committee heard submissions on the State Sector and Public Finance Reform Bill. One submission came from Public Service Association member and Ministry of Justice employee Sonia Mitchell. She was concerned about a change in law that would see out-of-work civil servants ineligible for redundancy payouts if they get a job anywhere else in the state sector.
This to me ignores the fact that this is a new job with a new employer, possibly a new department, new ministry, new CE, with new and quite possibly poor terms and conditions. I know of a woman who was made recently redundant after 14 years in the public sector. She then took up a different job on a 12-month contract in a different part of government. It seems wrong to me that after 14 years, she would have to forgo her redundancy payment.
Sonia Mitchell also disagreed with a part of the bill that meant redundancy payments wouldn't be made if the state employee didn't accept a job offered elsewhere in the state sector.
State service employees choose their employers for a whole range of reasons, values included, just like our employers choose us. If I were an analyst for the Ministry of the Environment's Climate Change Unit, I might not want a comparable job in the New Zealand Transport Authority's Road of National Significance Division, for example. I might be a peace-loving analyst working for the Department of Human Affairs. I might not be delighted to find myself working for the Defence Force or the Ministry of Veterans Affairs. Requiring me to change employers or forgo redundancy is to me the equivalent of me telling my employer that I'm resigning, but have found a comparable employee that they must accept in my place. It would not be acceptable to my employer, and it's not acceptable to me.
Public Service Association member Sonia Mitchell. Also opposed to the new redundancy provisions was another PSA member, Primary Industries employee Dr. Dave Nendick.
The proposed changes concern me greatly. The redundancy entitlement in part of my own employment agreement when negotiated in the past under good faith, and as part of a range of particular employment agreements which came out as a package. The proposed changes would actually legislate to reduce the value of those hard-won entitlements and without providing negotiation or compensation in that regard. I fully oppose the specific changes to the bill and I recommend that those changes do not continue.
Dr. Dave Nendick making a submission on the State Sector and Public Finance Reform Bill to the Finance and Expenditure Committee.
That's report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Fruin and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.